Blog Talk Radio.
Florida. I'm the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary
Smith McCoy, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We thank God for being a mind fixer and a heart regulator. We thank God for being an establisher of faith and of power. We thank Him for being the true and the living God. We proclaim today that God has all power in His hand. We proclaim that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. I don't know what it is that you need today, but I do know that God is that holy person. God is the I am that I am that can bring life to the innermost part of your soul. He is that God that is able to heal. He is that God that's able to deliver and to be free. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Yes, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Tell them that the hour of our broadcast is now on the air. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you to God for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, that word that we hear in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Thank you, God, for being God and God all by yourself. Well, we thank you again for tuning in to the Our Power broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we're going to be preaching this morning from the New Testament. And we're going to go in the book of John, and we're going to find us in that fifth chapter of St. John. Let's read that. Let's begin at that first verse. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halted, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. But an angel went down at a certain season unto the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever the disease that he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been there, had been a long time, in that case, he said to him, "Will you be made whole?" Now, when we just want to begin to just look at the Word of God, now we have to know that the Word of God is for everlasting. You know, you may buy a pair of shoes or a dress. You may buy a car, and that car is temporary. But when we can look at the Word of God, we know that the Word of God will endure forever. It is forever. See, the Word of God let us know. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. See, God was from the beginning. And He said that His Word will not pass away. Therefore, His Word will endure forever. It's not like the things that we see day by day. These things are temporary. But when we can stand on that Word of God, when we can stand on that solid rock, I like that song says, "On that solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Everything else can sink at any time. Everything else can move its shape at any time. Everything else can stop at any time. But when I can and you can depend on God, then we can see that God will endure forever. We see here that they had made this feast. After there was a feast, they said, of the Jews, that Jesus had entered Jerusalem. And it let us know that there were at Jerusalem a sheep market. With a sheep market, there was a pool. And in that pool, the pool was called in Jerusalem, in Hebrew, the tongue, the Sarada. And it had, the word described it as it having five porches. I want you to understand what I'm saying. And in that, it laid a great multitude of impotent folk. These were people that was lacking of physical strength. They didn't have that physical vigor. They didn't have that sickness. They wasn't effective. They couldn't move. They were weak. And they were helpless. So all they could do is lay there by this pool. And some of the people, not only were they impotent, but they were blind. In other words, they were not able to see. And they didn't have a sense of sight. Just like you and I can be able to see a color. They couldn't see a color. They couldn't see an individual because they were blind. But you know, there are people not only physically blind, but they are spiritually blind as well. And sometimes they have a lack of sense of direction. They don't know where to go, where to turn. They maybe can see with their eyes, but in the natural, they don't have that sense of sight. They don't have that sense of perception. They can't understand. So here we see that it's letting us know the people that was lying there at that pool called the Sata, which had those five porches. And not only were they impotent and they were blind, there were some there that the Word of God say they were halt. In other words, they couldn't move. They couldn't progress. They couldn't go from one direction to the other. They was obstructed. So therefore, they had to stand. They had to stay in that same position, waiting for the movement of the water. And then, when we look at the Word of God, it tells us that not only were they had all of these other things going on, they were blind and they were halted and they were impotent, but then the Word let us know that they were also, these people were weirder. Come on. They was like shriveling. They was like fading. It was decaying. When they had that freshness of youth, it began to be stale because it's no movement, it's no life in them. They continue to lay there. They continue to sit there. They continue to be in one position. They wasn't moving around because when you are in motion, then you'll be able to energize yourself and you'll be able to exercise yourself to a certain extent. These people weren't able to, most of them weren't able to do that. So you got all the category of people that were at this pool. And then the Word of God let us know that they were waiting for the moving of the water because an angel had came down at a certain season to the pool. And when the angel came down, the angel would trouble the water. And whosoever that stepped in first after the troubling of the water, and they stepped in, that individual, those people were made whole. But there was a certain man, the Word of God said, And this man, he had an infirmity. And this infirmity he had for 38 years. Could you imagine being sick for a week, 10 days? Could you imagine being ill for 3 weeks or 3 months? Could you imagine being sick for 4, 5, 6, 10 years or 20, 25 years? This man, he were ill, he were sick, he had infirmity for 38 years. 38 years. Now, I believe that with him being in that position, in that sickness, in that infirmity for 38 years, that I wonder that did he lose his sense of sight? Could he not perceive? Could he not believe God that something was going to happen that changed his life? Something that he wasn't no longer would have to be in that condition for 38 years. Now remember, he was not there all by himself, but there were others that had infirmity as well. But the word of God made it mention that this man, he had this infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie there, when he seen him lie and knew that he had been there for a long time, in that case, he said to him, "Will you be made whole?" This is what God said. He said, "Will you be made whole?" He knew that this man had been sick. He knew that he had been there a long time. But the only thing he asked him, and that was a valid question to ask him, "Will you be made whole? Are you ready to be made whole? You've been here 38 years. You've been lying here 38 years. You're not been in motion and been able to move normally like everybody else. So will you be made whole? Do you want to be healed?" And this is the mentality of this impotent man, the one that was lacking physical strength, the man that was weak, the man that was unaffected, and he was helpless. This is what his reply was to God. He said, whatever the man said to him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another stepped down before him." Now, Jesus didn't ask him all of that. But he, in his mentality, in his thinking, this is his way of thinking, that I don't have anyone, come on, to put me into this pool. I know if I can get in there, I have a chance to be made whole. I can be healed. I don't have to be here. I have spent these 38 years of sick and infirmity. But Jesus asked him, "Will you be made whole?" He knew what the pool was for. He knew that the angel came at a certain time of the year and troubled the water. He knew that the people that got in, of those that stepped in, the person that individual got in, that they were healed. But he began to tell Jesus the reason why he was not in the pool. He said, "Sir, I am no man. I don't have anybody. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool." And he said, "Why I am coming? Why I'm trying to get there to the pool?" I don't know if he trying to move his body. It seemed like he was trying to make some effort, but I don't know whether or not what actually his body functions that was able to get him to where he wanted, but it certainly it wasn't enough to get him to that pool in order to be made whole. He was saying that if I had somebody, if I had a man that would help me, somebody that would put me into the pool. But he's saying, why I'm coming another step down before me, somebody get in front of me. So there are so many reasons why we make an excuse, why we are not whole, why we can't walk, why we can't talk, why we can't see, why we can't breathe, why we can't obtain an education, why we cannot get that job, why we can't be in that place, in that company. But Jesus wants to see our faith. Our topic this morning is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? The man's faith was in somebody putting him into the pool. His faith was in him getting into that pool and somebody getting him into that pool so he could be made whole. But Jesus there, when you look at that 8th verse of the 5th chapter of John, the word of God says, and Jesus said to him, rise, get up, take up your bed and walk. Forget about the pool. Forget about the water. But arise, get up, and walk. And immediately, I believe that the man took hold of faith. The word of God say, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. He no longer had to sit or lie around the pool. I don't know where you are in your faith. I don't know how stagnated you are. I don't know what you're waiting on. Are you waiting on that check from the IRS? Are you waiting on that check on the first of the month, of the third of the month, of the fourth week, or whatever it may be? I don't know. I don't know whether or not, are you waiting for that son or that daughter to come out of their wavering way? But I do believe that God, that he is God, and he is God all by himself. No matter what it may be, this man and those people, they were in a place that they needed some help. I believe that the word of God says all our help coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. I believe that David said, he said, I have been young, but now I am old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I love the word of God when David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill where cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. We need to know where our help cometh from. The man that was at the pool of Siloam, that man that was at the pool that was sick for 38 years, he thought his help came from another man. He thought his help was going to be from somebody putting him in that pool. He thought, if I just had a man to come and help me to get me into this pool, I will be made whole. But our Father that seen him, Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he seen that this man had been sick for a long period of time. And he asked him the question, will you be made home. And after the conversation with this man, that the man had with Jesus, Jesus told him to arise and take up your bed and walk. And that's where God wants us to see. That is not in what we see. Come on. It's not in the pool. The man was looking at the pool instead of looking at Jesus. Sometimes we can look at circumstances in our life instead of looking at Jesus. Sometimes we can look at the money that's in the bank instead of looking at Jesus. Sometimes we can look at people instead of looking at Jesus. Jesus wants us to look unto him, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The word of God let us know that he is. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. He said, I am the beginning and the end. He said, I am the first and the last. He said, I am the truth and the living God. He let us know that he has all power in his hands. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. For there is nothing, nothing too high for God. And sometimes even in our trials, even in our testing, even when we go through things in life, sometimes we expect God to move when we want him to move. If there's a sickness in our body, we want God to move right then. And yes, we should have faith and confidence in God that he's going to move right then. But what happens if he doesn't move? What happens when we don't see that faith, that change come in our lives? What happens when you've been on the bed of affliction, it seems like, for almost 2 weeks, and you have looked for God to heal your body? Does that change who God is? No. That does not change who God is, because God, he is God and God all by himself. Remember when we began to think about in Samuel how Hannah had to wait on God? This woman prayed, she petitioned God. You know, God had closed up her womb, but yet she had to wait. There's a reason why sometimes God wants us to wait on him. Sometimes we don't see the reason why we're going through some things in our lives, but we have to wait on God, and we have to be patient on God, in God. Hannah had to wait. God closed up her womb. That's what the word of God says. God closed her womb. Because he wanted to mature her. He wanted to get her closer, her devotion closer to him, her faith and her confidence, her trust in him. She had to wait on God. And even through her struggles, even though she may have, and she did cry, and she did fret, all those are things that she'd gone through in life, she had to wait on God until her change comes. She had to wait until God says it's okay. And that she had to wait until God see that she was ready to birth a prophet, birth a judge, to be able to carry this important word of God. Yes. Sometimes we don't know what's in the inner portion, part of our belly, inside of us, that God want to birth out of us, and God want to use us. But then sometimes God will have us to stay before him. What is it? What's wrong with praying? What's wrong with seeking the face of God? What's wrong with believing God, even when the enemy tries to make you feel that when is this day going to come? When is time going to come? And the enemy will try to make you feel that is it ever going to come? Yes, that we be a good courage. Yes, that we stay on our face before God. For the word of God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from our wicked way, the word of God said that he will hear from heaven. He said that he will forgive the sin. He said that he will heal the land. I believe today that our land needs heal. I believe that the people need to be saved. I believe that we need a closer walk with God. And even as the Lord has showed us this morning through the reading of the scripture, through the man that was at that pool of Siloam, it wasn't in the pool for him. For some, it was. They were able to get in, and they were able to be made whole. But it was at having faith and confidence in God. I say to you this morning, where is your faith? We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this opportunity and for this time. We're coming again on the Our Power broadcast before the millions of people that are listening to our voice. As you have given us the word this morning to build their faith, to remind them that their faith and their confidence should be in you and not in another. God, that they can look unto the hill with cometh their help, knowing, God, that their help cometh from you who has made the heaven and the earth. And God, that you are that healer. God, that you are that mind fixer and that heart regulator. God, you are that all-breasted one. You're the rock. You're the shield. You're the high tower. You're the deliverer. God, you're the one that they can believe, and God, the one that they can trust in. So today, I ask you, Lord God, to touch the millions of people that are listening, that will hear this word on today. Lord, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, whatever time zone, God, whatever the city or state that they may be in, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will be upon them. And that they, God, that they'll be wicked unto the truth. God, you said we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. You said whom the Son has made free is free indeed. God, somebody needs to be made free today. There are many that have been captive and in prison, behind imaginary prison bars. And Father, I say today, God, free them in the name of Jesus. God, many, God, that have been impotent in their walk with you. They have been lack of spiritual strength. I pray that you will heal them right now, whether it's physically or spiritually. Lord, give them that power to sustain them, that faith to stand on the word of God. Those that are blind, God, call them to see out of the physical eye, but even greater, cause their sense of direction, Father God, in the spiritual realm, Father, to proceed and to understand you, God, even in a greater and more perfect way. Some have stopped on the wayside. They have a spirit of being halted. They're halted, God. They're suspended. They can't move. They can't progress. So, Father, I ask thee in Jesus' name that the obstruction that's in their way, God, that you will cause them, Father, to be able, God, to be able to go forth and to go on and to be more motivated and, God, to be made more genuine for you. That it won't be them, but it be the Christ that live within. God, I bind the spirit of being withered, that withered spirit, God. God, that they won't be, Father God, decaying, that they are no longer, being decayed and withered in their dreams and in their thoughts. Father, that they will have the mind of you. And God, that they have that freshness of you. Father, I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And even in the limb, and even in their bodies, Father, we pray that you'll move, God, even now. And Father, we thank you, Lord God. Now, Father, if there's any, and I know there is, that many that are not saved, that are listening to this broadcast. And Father, I ask thee, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that the ones that are not saved, God, that you will save them and deliver them. And that, God, that you will make them free. Lord God, you say that we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus. Believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. Oh, Father, I pray even now that you save, God, because you're able to save to the uttermost. Lord, don't let a one die and go to hell. God, don't let man, one man, God, turn their face and their back on you. God, don't let the people, Father God, turn in another direction, God, and turn instead of turning unto thee. I pray, God, even now, that they will repent, that they will have a turnaround, that they have a new mind, that their heart will be set upon thee. That, Lord, that they will repent of every sin. Lord God, because you said we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God tells us in John 3:16, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I pray everlasting life to millions and millions of people today. And this we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Evangelist and Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We want you to please join us on this coming Friday as we again preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. Our question to you today that we would like to leave with you is, where is your faith? May God bless and keep you, is our prayer.